He said, he didn't know, that man Fuller didn't know that I studied under the great H.T. Robertson of Louisville. But then he read which Bible, and true or false? And he said, a little light began to dawn. And after a while, the idols of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus fell down. He went out and bought a Textus Receptus, and he's using that thing. Now that shows you. I have three other letters like that, and I put them in print. I've got permission from the people who wrote them. And if only people will be honest, just like Dr. Frank Logsdon, who's going to be here in our conference sometime this month. I want to go out and hear him if I can, at GRB. He was on the Amplified Version Committee. He was on the NASB Committee. And I sent him both of my books, which Bible True or False. I didn't hear from him for 3 or 4 months. And when he finally wrote, he said, I'm awfully sorry, I've been busy in conference, but I've never underlined 2 books anymore in all my life, and I've changed my mind completely. And he wrote to the Amplified Version Committee, and he wrote to the NASB Committee, and told them, I can no longer go along with you on this. Now that took courage. But that's what we need today, people that are willing to stand no matter, come H or HW. All right. Now, about manuscript. I'll repeat myself later on, but I'll do it now. Western Port spent 20 years on a text, a Greek text, and they based that text on 2 of the earliest manuscripts, Vaticanus, 350 AD, and also Sinaiticus, that Tischendorf discovered on Sinai. And they were swept away by antiquity, as Tischendorf was, especially when he found it. And these are 2 of the worst manuscripts imaginable, because today we have 5,000 extant Greek manuscripts around the world that agree with the Textus Receptus in between 90 and 95%. Now, there's no collusion there. While the Western Court Greek text disagrees with these 5,000 manuscripts in exactly the same percentage, 90 to 95%. Now that doesn't tell you something, and brother, you, I don't know, I guess you're hopeless. That tells me that God has kept his book, and Satan has done a good job, give him credit, for covering up these past 100 years ever since the revised version of 1881 came out. And Tischendorf, going ahead again, he was on Mount Sinai. He had made 7 versions of his Greek text, New Testament Greek text. And he's a godly man, considered a scholar, a great scholar. And he looked in the wastebasket there in Mount Sinai and found the manuscript, and knowing, being the critic that he wasn't a scholar that he was, you know, immediately it was very, very old. His eyes glistened, and the monks saw that, and they wouldn't let him take it out. But finally he got permission from the Tsar of Russia to take it out. And I saw it over in England at the British Museum, Sinaiticus, that they paid $450,000 for. Now, he lost his balance on antiquity, because he said that the 7th version of the New Testament Greek text that he had gotten out was the best that could be produced, but when Sinaiticus came along, he made an 8th edition and changed it 3,000 times in favor of Sinaiticus. And both of these manuscripts are old because they were laid aside and put to one side because people who knew the Word of God realized it had been tampered with, because there were 80 different sects at that time that were seeking to prostitute and change and twist the Word of God. Now, see, Westcott Court shoved aside the uncials and the cursors and the lectionaries, and the early church fathers didn't have anything to do with them. All they did was to concentrate on 2 manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And because the Textus Receptus at that time, which Court at the age of 23 called it that vile Textus Receptus. That was before he got into the Word. So he went at that thing with a bias in the first place. And they had to get around the fact that at that time, 1,000 Greek manuscripts were in accordance with the Textus Receptus. And so he invented, if I can get it now, transcriptional probability, intrinsic probability, serial recension, and neutral text, and he pulled them out of thin air. There's no such thing as a neutral text. And he hasn't got any evidence for it. There's no such thing as a serial recension. But he had to have something in order to blind the people's eyes with, and that was it. I don't know if that answers or not. Okay, somebody else? Yes, sir.
about earlier today, and this week, that many of us self-included and not been injected before. Without the existence of the text, we have to make up. I've got things that he made by that has inspired the God to work for me.
Yeah. Amen.
However, I was intimidated to Dr. Doctor, and I'd like to know, you've got me on this side saying, we're right, they on the other side saying, we're right. Do we have, as you present, do we have a concrete, positive, provable lineage from the old and old Moses manuscripts, or the King Bible that they will have to, in all truth, acknowledge as fact? Or are we taking it somewhere along the line of our faith? And two, how do we prove the antiquity or the age of your manuscript as part of the 14th of the
Bible? Well, your question is, do we have a lineage that goes back to the originals in some way that accounts for the Textus Receptus? Well, now, the question we need to ask first of all is, what kind of a God do we worship? Now, I don't think there is a lineage as far as we're concerned, because there are thousands of manuscripts in the world today. But if you believe in the God who wrote them in the beginning and used the blessed Holy Spirit to talk to these men and tell them what to say, and yet not in any way impair their particular style of writing, then you also believe that God can keep it. In other words, he keeps his word twice. He's never reneged on his promise. And if he once gave it in the beginning, then you may be sure he's kept it. Yes, sir. The question is, these new modern translations, what texts are they based upon? Taking a little from here, a little there, all right. I wrote to Dr. F.F. Bruce of Manchester University. He's a recognized world scholar. I understand they told me that he knows the Greek New Testament by heart. Great scholar and a very gentlemanly person in writing. I wrote him and asked him if he was still using the Westminster Court text. He said that no, I'm using an eclectic text. I didn't know an eclectic text from a whole lot. But I looked it up and found that an eclectic text is the best part of different texts that a scholar takes and makes an eclectic text of his own. Or what has he got to choose from? He's got Nestles, whether 1 or 25, 25th edition. And Nestles himself was all for Vaticanus, the manuscript. And he has UBS of 1966 that Metzger played around with, and several others, but all of them were based primarily upon Westcott and Horn. So it's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. That's the whole story there. And all of these modern translations are based upon the Westcott and Horn Greek text in major part or part of it anyway. And they haven't even touched the Textus Receptus. In the many cases, there may be a few, but very few. Rotherham may be one, Darby may be another, I don't know. I think you can get even a better explanation from Dr. Ruckman when he comes. Somebody else?
I have just one more and then we'll...
All right. Yes, sir.
Some of them have been in contact with time, grabbing the Bible. I'm just so amazed.
Corp single-handed. Now, if they were wrong there, they could be wrong in other places, too. They took it only because Western Horse did. They followed them. And they call us bibliologists.
Well, well, interesting. What is a bibliologist? Do you know? I'll tell you what I think one is. One who makes a stand, and on the stand, he puts a glass case, inside the glass case, puts an open King James Bible. And every member of the family bows down to that, and he was down to it and worships it before they go to work. Well, I've never met anybody like that. I don't think I ever will either. You know why? Because the devil doesn't want any more attention brought to the King James Version than possible, see? But I'm telling you this, let's take it for granted that that charge is true, that I'm a bibliologist. I'd much rather stand before a holy God and be accused of worshiping the King James Version than stand before him and be accused of worshiping the Westgate and Court Greek text and their followers.
That's right. All right, we're going to draw the questions to a close. I'm sure there are many more. But we hope you're going to get answers to some of your questions. I would like to request this. Please, any of you who are here that have not met Dr. Fuller, I'm sure some of you like to, some of you preachers and others. One thing that bothers me a little bit in any conference is any person who hogs the time of any person who's here. Meet him and go. Let's kind of confine our questions to the platform. I know that he's anxious to answer questions, but when Dr. Ruckman gets here, I can't have one person cornering him and spending a half hour of his time. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to allow it. You understand? Because these people have to meet a lot of people, and I want a lot of people to be able. Let me just say what Dr. Bob Jones III said one time, and I think it's apropos, and I hope that it doesn't apply to some of you folks. He says, the gospel light sure do draw some strange flies. And whenever I see somebody cornering a man and half a dozen people standing around to try to meet him, I say, there go one of them strange flies. So make sure that you're gracious and courteous and meet a man and let the others talk. Now, if you're going to disagree with that, you and I are going to get in trouble right now.
Great. Listen, I told you I came here to help you. I can't believe that all of you here are saved. I hope you are. I had two young women come to me years ago, one Saturday after the other. They were members of my church, one by baptism, one by letter from Chicago. To all appearances, they were Christians. They both came to me and said, Dr. Fuller, I'm not saved. Will you lead me to the Lord? Now, I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation, but if you have any question about it, and if you want to be certain, I'll be glad to talk to you down here. But that's more important than anything else. But if you come here just to argue or put up your idea or your opinion, forget it.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. You get precedence if you're unsaved and want to be saved. But if you're unsaved and want to be saved, that's not going to take all afternoon either.
No.
That'll take 2 or 3 minutes. The person's really under conviction. It won't take long at all. We can still meet Dr. Fuller. All right, let's stand for a word of prayer.
The man back there has his hand up there.
Keep about 5 more minutes or so before everything's ready.
Yes, we have for all of you visitors, we are serving a meal. For all you high schoolers, we're serving you a bus. You go back over to where you belong. But for you visitors, we're having a meal in the basement on the other side, but wait about 5 minutes. However, when we close in prayer here today, we are going to pray for God's blessing on the food, so that when I get down there first, the headline, I can go ahead and eat and not have to wait on the rest of you. I don't fellowship with these fellows, man. I head for the table. That's when it comes time to eat. We've had Dr. Billy Bartlett and Larry Bartlett speaking in our services this week. And as I have expressed 2 or 3 times, our appreciation of the Bartlett family. And We have Mr. Barber, who plays our organ, Mrs. Barber, who plays piano, with us. I'm going to ask Brother Barber to dismiss us in prayer and ask God's blessing upon our meal today.
Right, that's fine. Well, now there is a attempt being made now, and they're spending $1 million on it. Thomas Nelson Publishing Company, the oldest of the company, one of the oldest, 1798, started. And they're seeking to update the King James without destroying the beauty or the meaning of the language. And they find it difficult to get one member to agree. I hope they'll come through it. But even at that, I told them myself, the editor, I'm not the editor, but the president of Commonwealth is a born-again Christian. They were the first ones to put out the RSV back there in 1955, or something like that. And now it's changed hands. And his right hand man is Frank Hyde. And I told him and told also the president, because sometimes, many times, scholars change for the sake of change. Because they think they're going to earn their salt. It makes me tired, sick, tired, fed up.
I'm a man, I'm just getting excited.
Could I insert something here on one of the questions? I'd be far from adding anything, but
go ahead.
I have to insert my opinion is that I don't want Nelson or anybody else to mess with it. The first prophecy of Jesus, I don't know if this answers your question in the 8th chapter of Romans, brother, but in Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It and his are in one verse referring to Jesus Christ. And then in the prophecy of Jesus to Mary, it said, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I'm just persuaded that when it says, our Father, which art in heaven, it means, make sure you pray to the right one. If you said who, you might be talking about the devil. So I say which divides it off from all the rest of them. And I believe, and this is my personal opinion, and you're never going to argue me out of it, don't mess with one word of it. Leave it alone. Nelson, all the rest of you. And you can say they're problems, but brother, there's none that I can't solve with my faith.
Amen.
Leave it alone. It's God's word. It's been proved. Don't mess with it.
Something I have to add to that. How many of you have read or known the King James 2? Yes. Well, Jay Green asked me to give a review of the New Testament. I started, I got as far as Matthew, and I wrote about it, I can't read this. There are too many phrases which are absolutely poignant. He tried to yield the living, he couldn't do it. And it's failed from that testing. Just like these other, I believe Jay Green would have meant well, but he made a mess out of it, a botch out of it. I'm so afraid that these are doing it for Thomas Nelson, that it would be $1 million down a rabbit hole. I hope not, but I don't know. But I think it's a good idea, as the pastor said, don't mess with it. Because, listen, are we dumber than they were back there 40 years ago? All they had back there was the King James. And yet they learned from it. They were blessed by it. And anyway, who teaches you the Bible? The Holy Spirit of God. And if he can teach those back there through the King James, where's that going to teach us too?
Good. Let's see, Brother Frisco.
Well, I just wanted to add to that these new translations, the Bible is also a lot of beautiful poetry. And I think we're very, Margaret, translating the English prayer is one of the most beautiful things as far as the land, and also a king. And they just went through that, that's something terrible. I mean, there was a poetry in the blood. Not only is it a lot of the blood, I hate to see that. I mean, these don't do virgins, they're just words of that and any power, right?
Let me tell you something, just as a first thought. Back when the RSV came out, I read the New Yorker. I didn't take it. I got it somewhere. Somebody referred me to it, so don't get excited. And in that, there was a review of the revised standard version. And the one that reviewed it, he panned it for a very well. He just tore it apart. And then he praised sky high the King James Version. The beauty of the language, the majesty of it, how it existed all these years. So I wrote it. I said, I appreciate so much what you said about the RSV because I went through it myself and made a pamphlet of it, and it was a mess. And then I said, you believe in the King James? I said, I wonder what you believe. I said, I'm a Christian, and I told him what I believe. He wrote back and he said, I'm an atheist.
Dr. Bartlett. Restate the question.
You asked to tell me that I have said that there are problems that are in the King James Version. Which one of three of them? Three of them are problems. One of these concerning the question of numbers in the Old Testament. One gives 500,000 of the slain one day, and yet that's not so much of a problem because it all depends on if you believe that God was in that act. He sent one angel at one time to kill 185,000 in one day. And he can do that in New York. But there are other places that have to do with numbers that I can't understand. But what amazes me, I read in the Chronicles, it seems it's a dry set of names in the first nine chapters of the first Chronicles. Jaw-breaking names. But every time I read those, I'm amazed. Carefully copied all of the centuries. When Dr. Wilson said that he studied some of the names of the kings of Babylon and Egypt and other places, and they were nothing but a jumbled mess. And he said it's only a miracle that when it comes to the names of the kings of Israel and the other the people attached to them, that it was done so wonderfully well. Dr. Media, just the names of First Chronicles, first 1-9, is enough to tell me to go with their book. But I don't know, there are other problems I guess to that, but I can't give the answer. Wait till Dr. Ruckman comes, this is the only one.
All right, we're going to close this on time. It's 2:30 now, and I think we'll dispense any more questions. We will have our next service at 7 o'clock tonight. There'll be two speakers, and I hope that many of you will be able to return to the service tonight. Tonight, Dr. Bartlett will be speaking at 7 o'clock on strange science. And then the question was asked Dr. Fuller that I am really anxious to hear is how God led me to the King James Version and the ministry of which Bible. And that'll be the subject of sort of a testimony tonight. All right, let's stand for closing word of prayer.